All right, welcome back to Ed Show number 35. We have a pretty big week this week.
Very exciting for a lot of people.
That's right. September 4th was our launch day. And with that, meaning you now have access to all of the Windows Server 2012 bits. We have a lot of resources that are available for you. So we're just going to go down the list today in the news of all the places that you can go and learn about Server 2012, access all the information you need. All right, the first one we have is Microsoft Virtual Academy. So you can see here, we've enabled quite a few tracks on Windows Server 2012, and we're going to continue to add even more content here into MVA. And this is where you can really dive deeper into the Microsoft products of Windows Server 2012 and all the different scenarios. And, you know, you get assessments and kind of show, hey, I've learned, you know, this aspect of Windows Server 2012, and of course would help you with certifications or other things that you might be striving towards.
That's right, and we have 5 currently available with 4 more coming out very shortly. So keep coming back to aka.ms/MVA or MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com. Sign up today and all of this training is now up and available.
Yeah, and speaking of bits, you probably want access to those.
That's right, over in the TechNet Subscription Center, you can now sign in and click download, see all of your subscriptions, and you can download the full versions of Windows Server 2012. You get your own subscription keys as well, so you now have full access to all of these new capabilities. So go download it today, start trying it out, and you can start using Windows Server 2012.
Right there when you log in, on the right, new Windows Server 2012, there you go. All right, up next we have an eval. So if you go to aka.ms/WS2012, will take you to our eval page, and there you can download the evaluation ISO or VHD files for you to quickly get a hold of the bits that way if you don't have a TechNet Plus or MSDN subscription, and start evaluating and checking out the product that way.
Now, if you want a more hands-on and more immersive experience, check out one of our upcoming IT camps. We have over 100 scheduled throughout the world, purely covering Windows Server 2012. So, David, why don't you first say, what is an IT camp? What exactly are these?
What's a camp? All right. Well, you get a tent. No, I'm just kidding. No, really, our whole goal with this is give you deep hands-on learning, right? So with an IT camp, you know, very minimal to no PowerPoint slides, just showing you lots of demos, and then you getting your hands, you know, on the products, either you bringing your own laptop or potentially, you know, connecting up to a remote desktop environment and doing labs yourself so that you learn firsthand on how to use the product.
Essentially, it's an in-person immersive learning experience hosted by David, myself, or one of the other 70 or so evangelists around the world, where we'll actually bring you into the room for a completely free event. We'll even give you lunch, we're that kind, and you'll actually get to use the products and ask some of the technical experts all the different questions you have about how do things work, why do they work this way, so to really get you ramped up and start exploring Windows Server 2012.
Yeah.
So if you want to learn more, please, please, please sign up for one of our IT camps. Again, they're offered worldwide. We have about 100 of them just this month, with many more coming later, and you can find out all the information about that at aka.ms/IT camps.
Okay. And last but not least, we have a virtual launch event site. And with this, we have a lot of different videos recorded and content for you to review and experience and learn a little more about Windows Server 2012. So that one's a little bit easier. It's just windows-server-launch.com. And you can go there and you can sign up, and you can there's kind of a community type effort there where you have the ability to, you know, interact with other users, and you get points for completing different kinds of sections of this this experience. So go ahead and check that out, and, you know, check out Windows Server 2012, man. It's a lot of new stuff.
One of our biggest releases, working on it over 4 years now. It's finally launched. We're pretty excited here at corporate. And we really want you guys to get your hands on it, start using it, and get excited about it as it takes you closer to the cloud.
All right, and up next, we have a deep dive interview with a program manager who owns Direct Access, which is there's a ton of new enhancements in Windows Server 2012, giving you a great connectivity experience from the user and the admin side of things. So don't go away. Stay tuned for this interview right now. All right, here we are for the technical part of the Edge Show, as always. And today I'm joined by Bala. Bala, could you tell everybody a little bit about what you do at Microsoft?
Hi, I'm Bala. I'm a program manager in Windows Core networking team. My team is responsible for delivering the Windows Direct Access feature for Windows 8. Here, I want to show you today about the new features that we have added in Windows 8 for Direct Access.
Yeah, well, that's why I brought you on board here. You own the Direct Access, so I thought you could help us out and tell us a little bit about, first of all, just to make sure we're on the same page, what is Direct Access?
Okay, Direct Access is Microsoft's promise to seamlessly connect to your corporate network securely from anywhere on the internet. As long as you are connected to the internet, you are connected to CarpNet. The user need not do any action to initiate connection to corporate network. You turn on the machine, you get connected to internet, you are on your CarpNet, wherever you are.
Yeah.
That is, and it also provides a secure way of connecting.
Yeah.
So it's the promise of seamless connectivity.
Yeah. Now I know. Like for me, at Microsoft, we've been using Direct Access for a long time now. But for me, it's like having to go back to the VPN. I'm like, oh man, I gotta put in a card and I gotta sit there for things to happen and scan. So on the user's perspective, it's great. We're always connected to Corp no matter where you're at.
Yeah.
But there's also there's the other side of things, right? The admin side of, well, wait, I can now manage, potentially, right?
Yes.
These clients anywhere they're at,
the
right?
Other advantage is mainly customers have time and time again told us that, hey, even though we have a good, reliable VPN connection, the user has to make a connection to CarpNet to get access to the corporate resources. And also, the admin wants to ensure only the machines that are compliant of corporate policy needs to access their corporate network. And so, in case, let's take a regular mobile worker, and he is able to VPN to CarpNet, but 70% of his normal work is not really connected to CarpNet, and sometimes he may miss a security update and things like that. So, Direct Access gives you the ability to access CarpNet, and also provides the admin to update those client machines, because now the admin can reach those client machines even without the user actually logged onto the machine. So as long as the machine is on, the admin from CARP can reach out to those clients.
Yeah.
So that's the greatest feature for admins to make sure the clients are compliant.
Yeah, push patches, push software, make sure group policies and other things are on there. That's a good part. So I know for some folks that I've talked to, because we introduced this into Server 2008, right? There was a number of things that kind of prohibited people from moving forward. I know like one of those things was, oh, well, I have, you had to have only IPv6 internal, or you had to have some kind of translation feature like UAG, right?
Right.
There was a lot of different things. So what are some of the new things that we've introduced with Direct Access in Windows Server 2012?
Okay. So Direct Access is great. That's the feedback we got in Windows 7. Mm-hmm. And when we released Direct Access feature, a lot of people liked it. And also it had a lot of moving parts, right? You need to have a infrastructure available. You need to set up your infrastructure first and then deploy Direct Access. So there were a lot of churns involved in setting up the Direct Access. So when we started planning for Windows 8, we said, okay, how can we give this great experience within 2 or 3 clicks? The admin should be able to set up Direct Access within 4 clicks. That was one of the goal, right? So that's the major advantage in Windows 8 when you want to deploy Direct Access. You can set it up very easily. You don't have to have a certificate infrastructure. You don't have to have IPv6 infrastructure. And you don't have to buy additional products to provide you those Direct Access features. So it is all available in Windows Server 2012. And combined with Windows 8 clients, you get this quick setup. So just 4 clicks, you can deploy Direct Access. That's one of the greatest.
Yeah. So I want to have you dig into those options as we get here in a second and demo that.
Okay.
But I just want to kind of recap some of those things you just mentioned. So No IPv6 internally, because we do the translation on Windows Server.
Yes.
2012.
Yeah.
Let's see. No, you now, one of the things you didn't mention, but I know that I know is that the fact that you can do it now behind a NAT. It doesn't have to have an edge firewall with two IPs. You can have an internal.
That was one of the major asks from customers. Hey, direct access is great feature, but I don't have two IP addresses to provide you at the edge with two public IP addresses. Can I put just one IP? Can I have my direct access server behind my corporate firewall so that can I have the direct access server in single link? These are some of the feedbacks we heard from Windows 7 clients, and so we added those features. Now you don't have to have two consecutive IP addresses to deploy direct access. You can have your direct access server behind your corporate firewall, or even you can have your direct access in a single NIC environment.
Yep.
So all those things are still possible.
And potentially, depending on what configuration you choose, you could even have just use the HTTPS and say, hey, 443 only, and open that up and make that happen.
Another thing, like when you deploy two IP addresses, you get the Teradoc connectivity, but in order to allow Teradoc connection, users always needed a way to open those firewalls to allow those UDP 3544 traffic. Now, with single NIC, you get IP HTTPS. It's commonly used protocol, so all you have to do is open 443 on your edge, and you get direct access.
Very cool. All right, well, let's not spend any more time talking. Let's dig in, and you give me the inside scoop here on the DA bits and bytes here.
Okay.
All right.
So we are going to talk about how to deploy DA and what are those four quick steps. But before I actually go through the configuration, I want to take time to explain my lab setup. I have a direct access server here that is one leg connected to my public internet connection. The other leg is connected to my corporate network. And I have a domain controller in my corporate network. And on the internet, on the simulated internet here, I have a direct access client. And I also have an administrator client machine on the CarpNet. So let me now switch back to my direct access server. And here, you can see I have NIC on the CarpNet with IPv4 address, and also a NIC on the internet with a public IPv4 address. And that's all I need for deploying. If you want to go through the regular setup and have two IP addresses on the public side, that is also possible. But since this is a new feature, I'm going to concentrate here on how you can deploy direct access with just one public IP. So that's my setup here. And I'm going to now switch to my direct access console. So before I go into direct access console, what the direct access feature is now available as part of the unified remote access role. When I say unified remote access, in Server 2012, we have combined the direct access role and the VPN role into one server role, and that's the role called unified remote access. So when I configure that role and then open the remote access management console, I am presented with two options. One, to use the new quick setup guide, which we call the Getting Started Wizard. And the other one is the traditional method of configuring direct access when we want to use the advanced features.
So let me just pause where we're at. So this, you get to this console by simply installing the remote access role. So at this point, all you've done is installed the remote access role on the DA server. And these are your options to configure DA.
Yes, that's correct.
And so when would you say for people, what is kind of a best practice of rule of thumb of, should I do the Getting Started Wizard or should I do the Remote Access Setup Wizard? What would you recommend?
Okay, this Getting Started Wizard is aimed towards a medium and small business customer segment where you don't have any existing infrastructure for your certificates, you don't have two public IP addresses, and you really want to control how many users are coming into your thing, and then you want to use mainly a new deployment of Windows 8 clients as direct access clients. In that aspect, you choose the Getting Started Wizard, where you don't need any additional requirement in terms of your certificate infrastructure. If you are a large customer and, hey, I already have my PKI deployed, most likely there are additional new features in Windows Server 2012, like I can add multiple sites. I want to use two-factor authentication, or I have Windows 7 clients already deployed. I want to make use of those clients also. In those cases, you go to the traditional advanced configuration wizard.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. PKI, certificates, multiple sites.
Right.
That makes sense. Okay, cool.
Okay. So for this demo, I'm going to concentrate mainly on how to deploy direct access in quick, easy steps. So I'm going to choose the Getting Started wizard. And like I said, since this is a unified remote access role, we combine both VPN and the direct access role. So when you go through this wizard, it will give you three options. Do you want to configure just VPN, or do you want to just configure direct access alone, or you want to do both? So for this deployment, I'm going to choose direct access only. So I'm choosing direct access only, but you can add VPN at any point of time. So okay. This wizard at the first time gives you the option to choose any combination that you want. Then the second thing is the options, like where is your direct access server? Is it directly on the edge, or do you have a firewall in front of it? Sometimes customers want to deploy direct access in a DMZ. So one leg in DMZ and another leg in CarpNet. In that case, you have the second option, option two, behind the edge device with two network adapters. Yeah. Sometimes customers will say, hey, I really want to have the direct access server in my CarpNet, and I still want to have just one NIC. And so if you want to do that, you choose this option. That means you are still behind a corporate firewall, mm-hmm. and your direct access server is directly on your CARP LAN with just single NIC.
Yep.
And in that case, you can choose this.
Okay, and that would be, and would the DA server need to be domain joined at that point as well?
Yes, direct access feature is available for domain joined machines. So the direct access server has to be domain member. So for this demo, since I have two network cards, I'm going to choose the edge option. What this means here is when you choose this direct access in a quick setup mode, what you get is the IP HTTPS connectivity. So direct access works, the clients work through IPv6, but they are connecting through IPv4 internet. So we use some translation technologies. So it is trying to ask you what is the name of that secure site the clients are going to connect to. So you can type in a public name that your clients are going to use public DNS server to resolve that name into an IP, and
the name or the IP that they're going to hit that the client's external will hit to that external interface. Yep.
To hit to this external IP. So if I type in da.contoso.com, and once you enter this name, that's all you have to do. Let's go to the next screen, and that's it. If you click finish here, it's going to generate the policies the server needs and the policies the clients needs, and click finish. And now it is going to generate the policies that are needed for the server and also for the client. So you can ask me, hey, Bala, how does it know which client is going to get the policy? How does it know all those things, whether it got certificates, whether it got things like that? So what happens behind the scene is it is looking at the name and looking at the name you provide, da.contoso.com. It's going to look in your direct access server whether you have a certificate to match that name. If that name is not there, it is going to auto-generate that certificate for you. So that's why I said you don't need a certificate. Then second, you may also ask, okay, how do I know which clients got the policies, right? So by default, what we do is apply the policy to all domain computers that are laptops. How do we do that? We create a WMI filter to look for whether the domain client machine is actually a laptop machine. So once we know that we have a WMI filter for laptops, automatically the policy applies to only to those mobile clients that are member of your domain. So that's why all machines that are laptops in your domain get the DA policy. right?
Okay, and they know makes sense. What's... Yeah, and so you could, if you wanted to click on the click here option there, what you could do is, right, then specify a broader group of clients, right? If you wanted to specify just the DA clients and then add computers into that group.
Right, anytime you can actually do that. So the basically behind the scene, these are the work that the Direct Access server did. Now, once you click close, you can go back to the traditional four-step process that you always had in Windows 7, and you can get to the same location and edit your client connections and say which clients are going to get the DA policy. See, this is what I talked about earlier. It is applying to all the domain computers that are mobile. This will create the WMI filter so that those clients get the policy.
Okay. Right. What else? What other options do we have here?
So another thing that we have here is how does the Direct Access client know that it is connected to corporate network? So in Windows 8, we have this built-in network connectivity assistant that tells you where you are connected. One, normally in your regular client, if you go and open your show the view available network by clicking on this network icon, it gives you the links for all the wireless connections that are available, how you are connected, and things like that. Similarly, in for Direct Access, we also have normally users try to, if they want to connect somewhere, the first thing the user reaction is to go to that network icon. So when they click on the same network icon here, they also get to know, okay, which networks they are connected, and Direct Access will appear as one connection there, and it will show whether you are connected, not connected, and what is that you have to do. And that's a new thing in Windows.
So here, this is what shows up on that right side, like you mentioned.
Right.
If you can call it Direct Access, you call it Workplace Connection, whatever. It's your Direct Access.
You can change whatever you want to add here.
Yeah.
And then in case the user is in a remote place, he is not able to connect to corporate network, and if you want to troubleshoot that, you can also add an email address, admin@contoso.com. So what it gives is, when you click finish and generate the policies again, the clients, when they are having this connectivity problem, they can right-click that connection, go to the properties of the connection, and generate logs automatically, so that in case of a problem, they can automatically collect the logs that the admin needs and send it to the admin.
Okay.
Right? So
yeah, that's great.
That gives them the option.
And do you have any recommended best practices for the connectivity verifier? I know you can do ICMP, you can do HTTP.
Right.
Do you recommend a number of them, or just one, or how do you?
One is enough. So basically, it is what this one does is basically the Direct Access client tries to access this particular page. So http://directaccesswebprobehost. Whatever domain name you have. And it tries to resolve that name and tries to connect to that, make a HTTP request, and see whether it gets a 200 OK message.
Okay.
And if it gets a 200 OK message, that means the client has the ability to reach your corporate network. That's how it determines whether it is actually connected to your corpnet or not. And this particular probe happens to be on the same Direct Access server.
Okay.
So you can do that. Or if you want to add your own additional highly available servers, you could add them as well here.
Yeah, so this is the way that that DA will know if it's successfully connected to the internal network.
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense.
All right. Constantly, another question that comes to customers' mind is, hey, I'm connected to CarpNet and things like that, everything is okay. Now, when I am outside of my corporate network, when I am at home or hotel or airport somewhere, whatever resource that I'm trying to access in my corporate resource, how does the client really know that the name is something in the corpnet? So this is where you specify what that namespace is. So here you have, if you go to the namespace here, it says, what is your domain name? So it already know that the Direct Access belongs to the domain called contoso.com. So any name that has a suffix contoso.com, it will assume that you are in corporate network space. You are trying to access something in the corporate network space. So the name resolution policy table or NRPT table determines whether the access should go through the direct access tunnel or go directly to the internet. So if you try to access a server.contasor.com, that means that name contasor.com applies here. So it will determine where to go here. So in this case, it is going to create a IPsec tunnel to the direct access server. And then once it reaches the direct access server can get the client to that particular internal resource. Or if you are trying to access some external site, something like, for example, you are trying to go to CNN.com or something, it is not part of the namespace contasor.com. So the direct access client will go directly to internet and not go through the corporate tunnel.
Yes.
Right?
So effectively, for what this means to an admin guy would be that if you go through the Quix wizard, the only thing you'd really need to add in here afterwards is any domain names that aren't part of your default domain that you want people to access from your internal network. So you just add it there.
Yeah. Okay. Any additional names, like sometimes customers may have more than one names.
Yep.
And so you can add those things. All right. Then we also talked about this da.contasor.com. This is a name that IP-HTTPS clients use to connect. So this name has to be resolved by public DNS servers. That's why we didn't add anything into the DNS server here. That means it is going to use the public DNS servers to resolve this name, and it should be resolvable. That's when it can actually get to the direct access server. And this one is a location server. Direct access clients, while it is at home or some other network outside of your corporate network, it tries to see whether it can reach this namespace, direct access -nls.contasor.com. It is the inside-outside detection server, and this server should not be reachable from outside your corporate network. And so normally we put this name here and didn't add any DNS entry here. That means your client will try to resolve this name through public DNS server, and obviously you wouldn't have published this name in your public DNS server. So clients cannot get to that. That means they are outside of the corporate network. When the client comes inside the corporate network, it looks for this name again, and that time this name will get resolved to your internal NLS server. That means the client will think that it is already in the corporate network, so it won't initiate direct access connection. All right, then the one last thing is once you are connected, direct access is kind of always on, right? But sometimes you may want to kind of disable it for some troubleshooting purpose. And this section allows you whether you want to use local name resolution or not, right? So that's the option here, and that's the default option you can choose.
And this would be for the clients.
When they are outside, do you want to disconnect direct access and use the local name resolution? All right.
All right. Thanks, Bala. I'm sure you could keep going for a long time on all the internals of direct access, but hopefully, you know, our audience now has a little better understanding of getting you going. It's pretty easy to get direct access deployed, and thanks for your time, man.
Thank you.
All right. Well, hope you really enjoyed that interview with Bala on direct access. Of course, if you got other questions or comments, feel free to comment in on this post on right down below on this TechNet Edge. But for next week, stay tuned. Because this is Windows Server Launch Month, this whole month we're going to have Windows Server topics across all of the team. So the rest of September, you can expect a Windows Server topic. Next week, we have Joey Snow, and he's going to be talking about the Cloud OS relating to Windows Server. So stay tuned. And if you got any other questions, comments, things you'd like to do, feel free to send us a tweet at TNEdge or just comment.
Thanks.